This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Anybody, anywhere.
It's time to take command with former NFL tight end Logan Paulson.
This pass caught by Paulson, the tight end.
And from 106.7 The Fan, Grant Paulson.
Welcome in to Take Command with Logan Paulson. I'm Grant Paulson. Logan spent a decade in the NFL. You can watch us on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. And, of course, you can listen to the audio of this pod wherever you get your audio. Subscribe, rate, review, download, send to a friend, do all that podcasty stuff. Leave a comment. Help us out. It is a good look. And you're a pal when you do that kind of stuff. We like pals. That's what I would say about us, Logan.
We do like pals. Pals are bros.
Just be a friend and hook your boys. That's what we're looking for here on Take Command. So, bye week's looming. There is no game to look forward to. Generally, the rhythm of the week is that you would have watched the tape of the upcoming opponent, and we'll break them down in detail today. But because there is no opponent and the boys are into the bye week, we figured we would break down the draft classes of the last couple of years, one of the big talking points this season when you've got a new regime. How are the kids faring? How is the Adam Peters scouting crew doing? So we'll talk about that today on Take Command. But quickly, I did want to ask you, just as a bye week guy, were you a stay home, rest up, like lay around the house? Did you ever take a vacay or go away with the wife? And how common is that? What do players typically do?
Yeah, so I remember my first couple years in the league, like I'd go back to California, see my family, see my wife's family for a couple days. And that was always nice to kind of reconnect and get away for a little bit. And, you know, I'd work out while I was there and go run routes at the field and just be a total psycho. But and then as I got older and I was in Chicago, San Francisco, Atlanta, Houston, I would take the bye week as an opportunity to come home and see the kids. So, you know, get 4 or 5 days off, take a flight, come say hi, go back. Cause I was, family had stayed here. And, yeah, so it just kind of different points in my career. It was used for different things, but most times kind of getting with family. And, you know, I will say like most guys are pretty beat up and tired at this point of the year. So, you know, like maybe they'll take a vacation, but it's nothing crazy. It's not like going out and going crazy partying or anything like that. Usually it's just kind of take a breath, refocus, and try to get the back nine of the season locked up.
If you were to take a handful of days off, is it noticeable when you get back to the facility in terms of like what kind of shape you're in or running around at practice, or is it not enough time for that?
You know, I always felt that like, I don't know if you could actually, if there's any physiological difference, you know, like when you look at some of those charts, it's like 3 days for cardiovascular fitness to deteriorate. So maybe you'd feel it a little bit. The thing that used to get me coming back was just you were in this like grind mode, man. You know, hey, I'm up at 5:30. I'm at the facility at 6. I got this and this and this and this. And then I always felt like the bye week kind of disrupted my routine in season. And like I was a big creature of habit. Then, you know, I thought I was a psycho. But then I talked to Santana. I talked to Fletch. And they had the same feeling like coming back to the locker room. It just felt different. It felt like some of your callus had worn off a little bit to the season. Your mental callus more than anything. So I don't know if physically, physiologically, there's anything actually happening, but mentally, I always felt like I was a little bit looser, and it took a couple days to get back in and really locked in for the games and get back on my schedule.
Let me be clear: you were definitely a psycho. You might have just had some company in that regard, but you know, yeah. When you're living in a a studio where you have like a folding chair. And otherwise sit pretzel style in the dark looking at a playbook with no furniture and no forks or knives because you're not going to eat food at your place of living for a year. That qualifies. I mean, you had some wild living situations we've talked about on the pod. My favorite is when you're like renting a place behind a curtain, sharing a room with like a family. I mean, just a wacky bit.
It's a tough bit, man. But like, hey, I was... No one can say I wasn't locked in on football. No one can say that about my time in the NFL. Like, talk about maximizing opportunities. Like, I wasn't the most talented guy ever, but I was definitely going to turn over every rock in the parking lot to figure out if there was anything good under there.
You squeezed out every ounce that was available to you.
Which is a nice thing people can say about me, you know?
So. Totally. I mean, I say this all the time. Like, I undulate occasionally. Where I'm like, am I too much of a hard ass expecting these guys to be pros and to prioritize ball and, you know, maybe not go out to the nightclub until 3 a.m, you know, the week of a game. And then I'm like, Logan Paulson existed, man. Now, I don't need, you know, everyone to count every pee that they eat and chart it on the wall with a Sharpie, you know, like Remy Malek in some movie where you're like getting even with people. Like you're on a different level, but still. That always brings me back to like, no, it's not that crazy to ask guys to like show up 10 minutes before the meeting at 8:14 in the morning. It's probably
I will say this is the old hardo in me and like, oh, things are different now. But I do feel like because of the NIL stuff and because of how much money players are making in college, there's a different expectation set for these guys when they come into the league. And like I remember talking with Fletch about like 2010, 11, 12, his last couple of years in the league. And just like, and he was reminiscing about stories and practice and how we used to practice. And I was like, man, it was kind of gnarly. Like it wasn't like, you know, sunshine and rainbows all the time. And now I just feel like the landscape has changed quite a bit, but I'm sure every old football player has that same thought at some point in their life.
Yeah. I do that with like how hard people work at restaurants like that, you know, growing up, like I couldn't take Saturdays and Sundays off from my shifts. Like, yeah, we all kind of have those feelings. Speaking of the kids getting to the NFL from college, let's talk about a couple of recent draft classes for Adam Peters here. I want to buzz through some of the names. So this segment, we can zero in on this year's draft class. It was the smallest draft class in the NFL because of the trades for Marshon Lattimore last year, Laremy Tunsil this offseason. The Lattimore trade right now is one of the few significant, like important L's probably taken by Peters to this point. But I would say the Tunsil trade has been a gigantic win. And you know, you got to an NFC championship game in year one. There have been plenty of those. But let's get to this class. I want to go one by one here. So Josh Connerly got off to the rough start, to your credit. I was asking, do we sit him? Do we give him a reprieve? Do we give him a mental reset? You kind of wanted to keep sending him up there, Top Gun style. And the numbers have really balanced out here, right? I mean, the pressures have gone down. The grading done at some of the sites that do that is much better. I've always felt like you could see the reason why they loved him, and it looked like this is what a star tackle is as a rookie, but the production wasn't there. It's been up and down. There have been a couple games even recently where it's not perfect, but how would you evaluate his season?
Yeah, I mean, I think the way you articulated it there is perfect. I think the thing with him is like there's a ton of potential, right? The athletic potential, the movement skills, the length. It's literally every, like if you said, here's a board and these are all the qualities I want to tackle to have, Josh Connerly has a lot of them. And I think early on in the season, early on in training camp, like there was a lot of like, oh man, is he physically ready? And one of the things that I noticed during the draft evaluation, especially at the Senior Bowl, is like, is he strong enough, physically strong enough to play NFL football? And like, that's something people often overlook in terms of physical development. He's one of the younger guys in the league at the moment. And I think you've just seen him really from the jump. So like, remember I vividly remember his first one-on-one pass protection rep in camp and him just getting smoked. And you're like, well, I don't know if this guy's going to be able to figure it out this year, right? Maybe it's week 8 or 9 before we see Josh Connerly on the field. And then every day in training camp, he got better, right? And he gets to the season and obviously has a kind of a rough first couple games. I think you look at that Packers game and really was just a trial by fire, trial by volcano, you know what I mean, with Micah Parsons and how well he did in terms of rushing the passer. And but I do think like one of the things I really appreciate about him as a player, a person, a prospect is no matter what happened, no matter what adversity he faced, he's gotten better every single week, like literally better every single week. Now, some of that is Cliff and the offense and how they're calling stuff too. They're helping him out a little bit more with chip help. They're not putting him on an island as much anymore, but there are reps versus really good pass rushers. Like I look at his reps against Seattle versus DeMarcus Lawrence, where DeMarcus Lawrence is a real deal, powerful pass rusher. And he's like grabbing stuff and shutting it down. There's the Aiden Hutchinson tries to throw the spin and he catches it, man. Like that's big time pass pro stuff. So do you start to see the physicality come along? Yes. Do you see the nuance and understanding of football come along? Absolutely. And I'm buying Josh Connerly stock, man. I think he's going to be a stud. I think he's going to be really a heck of a football player. And when you combine that with the addition of Laremy Tunsil, like you alluded to, I think there's nothing but positive things to say about the offensive line acquisitions this year. Is it perfect? No. But I think the other thing, too, is when you're watching offensive linemen, there's a degree of mistakes that are tolerable and that you're okay with, and there's a degree you're not tolerable and okay with. And I think that's really hard for people who just kind of, you know, like watch Instagram, watch the highlights, because you see the negatives. But if you go back and watch 50 plays, 60 plays of a game, you're like, man, he did a lot of good stuff in this game. There's one sack, there's a pressure here, there's a bad bull rush here, but they don't see him absolutely burying somebody on a double team, you know? And so I do think there's enough good in his game to offset some of the splash negative plays you see. And so, yeah, I'm in 100% Josh Connerly. And I think when you look at the last three games, Seahawks, Lions, Commanders, like he's looking like an NFL ball player, which is something that's exciting. And again, hopefully, and again, the thing that makes me so optimistic about him is every week, it's not like every 2 weeks he's better, or every third week he's better. It seems to be following a very linear trajectory in terms of his production, which to me is really exciting.
Certainly.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Recently, because I thought early in the year maybe there's a blip here, blip there. But to the your point on the last three games, just to accentuate that, you know, his PFF grade is just one metric, but he's the third highest graded tackle among the rookie class over that time. Zero sacks and just six pressures. His run blocking grade is ninth highest among all tackles, right around 80 in those three games.
Who is the who are the other two rookies?
I'd have to look it up, honestly. I just saw that.
I see. Sorry.
Yeah. No.
To put you on the spot there.
No, it's all good. But I would, you know, the Chiefs have a really good left tackle, but he hasn't been playing in those games.
Yeah.
So I don't know if, like, you know, Gray Zabel or one of these guys, like an interior player. I'm not really sure.
Sure.
But I'd have to look that up. But my point is just top 10 overall run blocker over three games at the tackle position, top three rookie. So that's, you know, these are encouraging metrics that start to pile up that match the eyes, which is to say he's getting more consistent. I can't imagine watching him and not feeling good about the future of him as a tackle. I like when you say buy stock. It has not been perfect, and there's going to be reps still as a rookie where you go, oh, okay. But, like, look back to the first couple weeks to now. It's night and day, in my opinion. You
know, I mean,
talking
even
about
from training,
help him with a tight end and, like, me asking you, should you sit him? And now it's like he's a strength in a lot of situations.
Dude, I remember talking to you at training camp, man, and I think we both were kind of like, is he going to be able to play? Like, is he going to be able to start the season?
I came
and
up
then
to
for
you,
him-
yeah, like a week into camp, maybe a little less, but it was several days in. I remember coming up to you and I'm like, I'm not trying to hot take this thing, but I have a question.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, what's up? I'm like, is it weird that I'm a little worried about Josh Connerly?
Right.
And you were like, dude, it hasn't been great yet. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, he absolutely has. And that is a positive for him too, I think.
Yeah.
He has like made fast adjustments when it's bad, you know, but this is, sounds like excuse making, and maybe it is, but like it's Brian Burns, Micah Parsons, and Max Crosby in your first three games in the NFL. Like, if you
brutal
wanted, that would be like sitting
brutal
in a donut shop all day on my diet and being like, hey, man, good luck. Like, let's make sure we keep losing weight. Like, make good decisions, you sugar addicted fatso. And you know, that's like, come on, man. Like, what do you want me to do right now? Like, you're trying to make this easy on me or hard on me? How are we going to do this? Real quick on the O-line, because we'll keep it moving. The trajectory, as you said, like moving forward, they got to lock up Tunsil, obviously. But assuming he's around at left tackle, he's been excellent. Whether it's Paul or Coleman gets another shot, however they do left guard, you've got two internal options under contract and control there. Biadasz at center. Cosme's still coming back from the ACL and getting all the way back to speed. But, like, that is a group, I think, going into next year and beyond, you can feel pretty good about not having to address, not having to sink money or assets into. You could always fortify and strengthen. That's just something if we're looking for areas of the roster that don't need a ton of work in the offseason, that might be one of them. How about Trey Amos, the corner? They took him at 61 overall. He actually had a really good camp, a very strong preseason. I would buy stock in him too, but I want to know what the tape says, because there weren't like high level impact plays. He's not picking off passes, changing games. Here's my anecdotal observation. I felt better when teams were throwing toward him than I did Lattimore or Sanra Still when he was healthy this year. I feel like that's a compliment.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. And I think like there's times where he gets beat. I mean, a little bit of it's like, you know, Connerly, and I'm going to say this, like, I think the road so far has been much smoother for Trey Amos. Like, I think he's been much more productive. I think you see a much better coverage player. I think you see a guy who can play the position at a high level. And I think that's ultimately what you're excited about, or what I'm excited about, right? I think you see ball skills, you see composure, you see route running, understanding. And are there mistakes? Sure. But I also think here's a guy that, again, like in man coverage, which they did a lot at the beginning of the year, was excellent. In zone coverage, he's got a good feel. Like, and it's much, and it's funny talking about offensive line and corner like right after each other, because I do think that corner is very similar to an offensive tackle, right? You kind of do everything moving backwards. You have to match and be a really big athlete. And I think there are some learning curve things that need to be acknowledged. But overall, man, I think he's done a great job, and I think he's a ball player. So that's what I'm excited about with him.
Like, I would put him in Penn as a good player in a building block moving forward. do you see a ceiling for him where he could turn into a star shutdown corner? Or is he like a nice, I don't even mean number two, right? But like in a world where you're just playing halves of the field, so it doesn't matter if you're a one or a two, is that just what he is? He's like a nice corner? Or do you think there's a ceiling there where he could be like, damn, this guy's made three straight Pro Bowls?
I think the one thing about like the top flight corners, like the Patrick Surtain, you know, the Sauce Gardeners, the Singletary is a little bit different, but he's such a good coverage player, is they have a good physicality to them. And I think Amos has shown flashes of that. I just wonder if he wants to live that way, you know, long term. And so in terms of being a top shelf, and again, that's maybe not fair to compare him to those guys. Right now at this moment, I think his ceiling is going to be a good corner, right? A guy that you're like, we feel really good about it. We don't need to upgrade. Kind of like a Slay, you know, in Philly. He's like good. Like he's a good
like
player.
Carlos,
like he's
Rogers, good, to use Washington parlance.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Like that kind of player where you're like, yeah, we don't need to draft a corner, but are there better corners in the league than him? Yeah. Absolutely. And so I think that's what he is. But again, like I remember watching him in training camp. I remember like watching some of his highlights and getting ready for this. You're like, that is a really good play. And so maybe the ceiling is more than I'm giving him credit for right now. Maybe he's got more in the bag. Maybe he's more competitive. Maybe he's more physically tough. Again, not that he's not tough, but again, like maybe there's a step up and improvement for him there. So I'm buying stock in Josh Connerly. I think Trey Amos is a more established piece at this point. Like there with Connerly, there's going to be a developmental curve. And I think you're buying the bump here. With Amos, I think he's good now. I think he's going to get a little bit better. So in terms of return on investment, I don't think you're going to get a lot from that buy. But he's a good player, and I just wonder, and I think he will be a good player in the league. And I think that's something that's exciting.
It's early, and you know, just watching it as much as I have, not digging into the tape to the extent or with the knowledge that you do, what I see is similar. Like, I think he is put a check in the box in the second round as a player that's going to help you for a while. Could get second contract, whatever. But to me, I'm not even going to compare him to like the elite all pros like you're talking about with Surtain or whatever. But when I watch really good young corners that could be dudes like Quinyon Mitchell or something from Philly, like they clamp guys and they're just on dudes like a blanket. I don't really see that. So
again, it's that physicality, I think, that is. Because Quinyon Mitchell is a great example, right? Like I'm not talking necessarily like he's not like a thunderous tackler or anything, right, but like there's a physical toughness in the way they play coverage. There's a physical toughness at the catch point that, again, like Amos has elements of that, but I don't see that same kind of dude. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying he can't get there, but as of right now, that's kind of where I'm at.
All right, so let's get next round down. So we talked Josh Connerly in round one, Trey Amos in round two. We're going through this year's draft class with Logan Paulson, who watched the tape and took some notes on all these guys and how they played. So here's a guy I would say I was wrong about overall this season. After watching him in camp, because I thought he was their best traditional wide receiver in training camp, and it wasn't particularly close to me, my eye, Jalen Lane out of Virginia Tech. Now, he did some really good things, and he's going to continue to play. It's not like he's out for the year. He did get dinged and wasn't available to finish against the Dolphins, so we'll see what his health is coming out of the bye. 16 catches for 225 yards, which, you know, where you got him at pick 128 in round four, like the production's on a pace to be still a success at that area of the draft. But if you would have asked me, like, okay, they're going to have these injury problems and you're not going to have Terry and you're not going to have Noah Brown and they're going to be like desperate for guys to fill in and it's going to be a lot of Chris Moore and Robbie, the artist formerly known as Anderson, and, you know, they're going to be grabbing Jacoby Jones off the street. Like, I would have said, oh, Jalen Lane's going to be an answer for them, that they're going to use him down the field vertically. He'll give them that element. He's going to route people up. Like, we just saw it in camp all summer long. And it hasn't really been that. There's been inconsistencies. I think sometimes I just don't properly equate like how hard it is at that position to translate. Because I see a guy in the summer and I'm like, damn, this dude can play. And I'm talking like I've always done it with like, you know, Terrence Austin in your draft class, who was a seventh round pick, your buddy from UCLA. I'm watching him in camp route.
Great pull, by the way.
Thank you. And I'm like, this guy's a technician. Like, he's going to be a great NFL receiver. And it just like he'd have 7 for 90 in a preseason game. Like Rashad Ross, the Rocket, he's going 6 for 85 in the preseason. I'm like, they got them one. And then the game start, and it's like, maybe not. So with Jalen Lane, I put the cart before the horse a little bit. But what do you think?
Yeah, so I think his I think his process has been accelerated. I think he's a guy that when you draft him, you're like, you're going to be a return, special teams guy, fourth, fifth wide receiver. Great. And that'll be his role. You know what I mean? But I think because of the injuries, he's been thrust into a larger role. And there has been times in the larger role, especially early in the year, where I felt like he wasn't ready. And so people say, well, he's fast, he's explosive, and those things are all true. But I think the route running subtlety has not really come to the forefront the way that I was hoping. And again, like he's talking about a guy that's gotten better each and every week. Like he's a guy that I think is 100% gotten better. So I think, and what I mean route running subtlety, like his vertical speed, you feel it. I think his breaks are pretty good. It, to me, it's the stuff from the release to the break that needs some work, right? How do I leverage this guy, work my stem, square this guy up, work a double stick at the top to create a little bit more space for the quarterback? And I think that's an area where he's going to continue to grow. Because coming out of Virginia Tech, like they didn't really ask him to do anything like that, right? So I think that's where I'd say like that is something that he still needs to improve at to play NFL wide receiver consistently, like to be a three, for example. You know what I mean?
So that's a good eval on what he is right now. Very good. What is he? Like, same question as Amos. Like, let's fast forward a couple of years. What is he?
Yeah, I think that's a good question. I think so this is where the draft is so hard to deal with. And this is where, like, I kind of have a lot of respect for what Adam Peters has done is he's picked guys that have high floors but also have seemingly, at least from kind of observations of practice and what they've said about these players in press conferences, a work ethic. And so I do think because of his athletic skill set, I think, again, he could develop into something that is very good, you know, like a maybe like a low-end two, high-end three at some point in his career where you've kind of got him lined up in the slot. He can win one-on-ones. He understands zone and man coverages. The stem stuff is good. And he kind of ends up taking some of those targets that have been kind of traditionally given to Zach Ertz in this offense. So, again, with him, like I think you see more of his warts because he's in a role that he probably shouldn't be in. And, again, it's great to see because, like, he makes a huge play against – who was that? Detroit a couple weeks ago on that post, like really nice job by Marcus Mariota. You see him last week. I really like the route he ran last week against Miami where it's like that spin, that first in or that like maybe deep quick through on a knife concept with the dig behind it where he's able to win versus outside leverage man coverage and break across and make a tough catch. Like those things are good to see because again, like his route running tree is kind of growing and diversifying and that makes me really optimistic he can do more. I think, again, early in the season you saw some discomfort, right? You saw him have a hard time catching the football in certain situations, but much like Connerly, I think he's grown. And this is where, again, the injury stuff is super annoying. Like it's so frustrating because it's really negatively affected the outcome of this season, obviously. But I think it's also good because you get to see a guy like Jalen Lane in a larger role, getting these NFL reps, and it's going to accelerate his growth process going into next year. So I think he could be, like a low end two, high end three, kind of like Deami Brown was here last year, where he's like catching screens, he's doing some gadget stuff, he's winning vertically down the field. But again, like I think he's not quite there yet, but I think you're starting to see flashes and signs that make you optimistic about his long-term prowess here.
I'd also predict if Debo's not back, and I don't know what the plan is, right, because Debo Samuel is going into a contract off-season, you know, he could get a lot of those looks, to your point, on the screens and some of those things too, where you move him around and get him the ball around the line of scrimmage. Last guy then, let's be quick on this one. I think we've talked a lot more about him as the year's gone on, but there's been a regression since the summer when he was everybody's, you know, flavor of the month, and that's Bill. Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt, who right now for the moment, you know, Chris Rodriguez is the hot hand who's kind of supplanted him as a guy that might lead the team in carries for the next couple of weeks. Bill shot out of a cannon. I still really, really like the explosiveness and the ability, but it hasn't been as good. I felt like some of that is run game, not Bill, but clearly they feel like he's missing some things or else maybe his workload would be probably not diminishing.
Yeah, sometimes I think he's really talented. Like, you know, some of these other guys, like he's talented. Like there's no doubt about it. Like he can catch football, he can run, he's got some explosiveness to him. He's got
awesome
that kind of
blitz pick up on the goal line, by the way, on a to drop back in this game. He blew a dude up, looked like Clinton Portis taking on a backer.
But yeah, got some of that kind of stuff you can't coach. And so just to keep this tight, like I think some of it is a little bit of a regression because like you know, it's hard running the football in the NFL. Like, they played some good fronts and guys have been very physical. I also think there's times where I see him and I'm like, I wonder how much you're pressing this, how much you're like forcing the issue for an explosive play, as opposed to Chris, who's just like, this is the hole, I'm going to hit it. And so I think with young backs, there's this, because in college they can hit home runs all the time, right? So like, it's kind of learning how to just get on base with the run. Get on base. And then when your pitch comes, you just knock that thing out of the park. And so I think there's, do I have any doubt that he's going to be an excellent football player? No. Like, I think he's going to be a feature here for a long time. Like, I'm very confident in that. I think the thing is just like learning how to run like an NFL runner. And that's going to take some time. Like, and I don't think people should be down on him or sell stock. I think this is just a process of being a young football player, learning some of the nuances of the NFL game.
Kane Medrano, the sixth round pick, hadn't played a ton. We will leave that one on the cutting room floor for now. So Connerly, Amos, Lane, and Bill, four of the five draftees this season. Let's get into the 2024 class and year two for some of these players. We'll do that next. It's Logan Paulson and Grant Paulson on Take Command.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.